So I will try to focus on mental health today and be brief on other factors. Mainly, we'll be examining whether regular cigarette smoking during adolescence increases the risk of major depressive disorder and anxiety symptoms in adulthood using the Oolong study, which is a longitudinal study that follow up a group of African Americans from Chicago since 1960s to 2003. So it is a prospective longitudinal study. And during the first round of survey, first graders and their teachers, mothers were interviewed in 1960s. This cohort of first graders were then followed for three time points of their lifetime. Once in during their adolescence, and then again in young adulthood in 1992, and then the most recent one is in 2002 to 2003, when they're in their mid-adulthood. So this cohort is 99 is almost all African Americans, and about half of them are female. When the study first started, it was one of the five poorest communities in Chicago in the 1960s, but then after a couple of years, these people still, this cohort still remain high poverty rate. There's over a third are below poverty line in their young adulthood, and about a quarter in their mid adulthood. So I will start from giving you an overview of cigarette smoking prevalence among African American populations. So for adolescents, consistently, national data sets have been showing that African-American adolescents have lower smoking prevalence than white adolescents since 1970s to recent years. However, when people turn age 30 or when they grow into their adulthood, African-American adults start to have higher or similar smoking prevalence compared to white adults. Also, African-Americans have a greater risk of lung cancer and poorer prognosis than white Americans. So this tobacco-related health disparity highlighted the importance to examine the effects of cigarette smoking within racial and ethnic group. In the previous slide, we showed that in national data sets, there has been consistently reporting that African American adolescents have lower smoking prevalence than white adolescents. However, if we look at regional studies, researchers have found that for some urban and low-income African-American adolescents, they are having higher smoking prevalence than national average. So next, I'm going to give you a little background of the association between cigarette smoking and long-term outcomes. So the association between cigarette use and socioeconomic status, social integration, is well documented in the literature. But for the relationship between smoking and depression, it has always been very complicated. So it could be that early smoking causes later depression, or it could be that cigarette smoking is one of a self-medication method for existing depressive symptoms, or it could also be that there are other factors that both explain smoking behavior and depression. And in our study, we are only interested in looking at the first pathway. So we're interested in whether there is an effect of earlier smoking to later depression, but we're not looking at other potential causal pathways. So there are two potential mechanisms to explain the association between earlier smoking and later depression. The first one is biological pathway. It could be that nicotine alters neurochemicals such as dopamine in the regulatory systems. And this alteration of neurochemicals in turn affects mood regulation and may be an etiology for major depression. Another pathway is through psychosocial factors such as rebelliousness. Some researchers found that rebelliousness accounted for 15% of a pathway between earlier smoking and later depressive symptoms. So if we look at the literature on longitudinal studies that look at the association between earlier smoking and later depression, there has not been a clear conclusion yet. Some studies found positive association, but some did not find association between these two factors. For anxiety, cigarette smoking may cause later anxiety symptoms through impaired respiration and the anxiogenic effects of nicotine. A few longitudinal studies have examined the effect of early smoking on anxiety disorders, and consistently they found that they found significant effect for a few anxiety disorders, such as panic disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. So this is the conceptual framework of our study. The main predictor is the regular smoking during adolescence measured in time 2 in 1975 to 1976. And in this study, I'll be using propensity score matching to find a group of regular smokers that have similar childhood background factors to match with a group of non-regular smokers for my outcome analysis, so that when we find differences in outcomes, we can claim that that's mainly due to the effect of whether they are regular smokers in adolescence or not, but not because of the childhood background factors such as family, socioeconomic status, or whether a mother is a smoker, or mother's mental health status. And then I'll keep the match sample for my outcome analysis. So I ended up using one-to-one nearest matching. And a rule of thumb to determine whether I have a good match or not is that we compare the standardized mean difference between the regular smoking group and the non-regular smoking group. And we want this, after matching, we want this standardized bias to be less than 0.25 after matching. So this is an example of some of the matching variables, and after matching they are showing the standardized mean difference between regular smoker and the non-regular smokers are all below 0.25. And this leaves me a sample of 199 regular smokers well matched to 199 non-regular smokers for my outcome analysis. I'll only be using this match sample for my outcome analysis. So for socioeconomic status and social integration, we found that after using the match sample and after matching with a long list of background factors, adolescent cigarette smoking is significantly associated with lower educational attainment and long-term unemployment. We did not find significance in two of the indicators of social integration. For mental health, we did not find support for the effect of the adolescent cigarette smoking on later mental health, including major depressive disorder in time 3 or time 4, and anxiety symptoms in time 3 and time 4. So compared to other studies, we have a longer follow-up time and different analytic method. We also have a more thorough list of adjustment factors. We're also interested in other hypotheses to explain why we did not find association, even though other studies also show, some of the studies also did not find association. We're wondering whether it may be that smoking is used as a coping mechanism for depression in our study population, that this population is more likely to engage in unhealthy behaviors such as smoking and overeating to cope with day-to-day stress because of their disadvantaged living environment. Hence, it may reduce the potential drug-induced effects of cigarettes on mental illness. So that's why we did not find any a significant association. But to support this hypothesis that we need more evidence to understand the role of stress in the pathway of smoking and mental illness in this population and also compared to other ethnic groups. Our study has a few limitations. Even though propensity score matching help reduce selection bias, this observational study design still cannot adjust for unobserved confounders, such as the genetic origins of mental illness and addiction. Our study population was a population of high drug-using urban African-American population. Hence, our study results may not be applicable to other populations. Our measurements of smoking and mental illness were based on self-reported, so there could be potential bias between smokers and non-smokers. One of the strengths in our study is that we have a much longer follow-up time than other studies. However, we were not able to assess what exactly happened in the pathway. So this study contributes to public health research by increasing the understanding of the effects of cigarette smoking on adult outcomes, especially mental health. We use a more thorough list of background factors and a different statistical method to reduce the influence of unobserved confounders to obtain the effects of adolescent smoking on mental health. Our study population is a large sample of inner city African Americans and has been followed up for almost 40 years. It's 25 years after follow-up after adolescence, which is much longer than most of the studies that only has about 10 years of follow-up. And the prospective longitudinal design allow us to use temporal order to control for many potential confounding variables in early lifetime and to better examine the role of factors in each phase in the life course. So thank you. And
we have time for some questions. So the question was, could there not have been an effect because included in the sample were both people who started smoking and went on to persist into long-term serious nicotine dependence, as well as those who did not continue smoking through adulthood?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And one way I would think to solve that in the analysis is to not, I would consider limiting to those who keep on smoking, but I'm thinking of using that as an indicator, as a moderator in my analysis, like to see whether there is interaction in this association. But then also in our, I forgot the number, but in our population, actually a lot of adolescent smokers continue smoking in their life course. In our population, actually a lot of, have I not been using the microphone? In our population, actually a lot of adolescent smokers continue smoking in the life course, but I should consider just this interaction. Thank you. Which one go first?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, but I think the number was not very high. And to adjust for the thing you just mentioned, so that's why we match on the background factors. We try to control to find the regular smokers and non-regular smokers that have similar personality traits and also their mother's depression status. So that's how we try to control for their pre-existing depression symptoms.
Mm-hmm. In the front.
I was thinking of a take-home message for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Since in this presentation you mentioned that when you're smoking in between age 15 to 16, your SES actually has no difference because of the others you contain one. That means smoking was not the useful predictor to predict whether your social economic status would be low or high.
Mm-hmm.
Am I interpreting this wrong?
So the question was, is it true that smoking was not a predictor of socioeconomic status later in life if people adopted smoking in adolescence?
What we found in our study is that smoking is significantly associated with educational attainment and whether they are unemployed for more than 3 months while wanting for work. But it's not associated with some of the index like poverty and current unemployment status. So, but then I think education is an important one for an important indicator for socioeconomic status. And we found that even we control for a lot of family background and their personality in the childhood, being a cigarette smoker in adolescence still matters to their later life educational attainment.
We have time for one more? Okay, thank you very much, Carol.